Welcome once again to the Lucky Mojo Hoodoo Rootwork Hour, brought to you by the Lucky Mojo Curio Company in Forestville, California, and online at luckymojo.com. I'm your announcer, Miss Tammy Lee of TripleCrownFinder.com in Pensacola, Florida, and in just a moment, we'll be joined by our co-host, Catherine Ironwood of LuckyMojo.com in Forestville, California, and Conjurman Ali of ConjurmanAli.com in Mission Viejo, California. This week, we will be joined by a special guest from the Association of Independent Leaders and Root Workers, Reverend Rukaya Shimon. They will take your calls and offer advice to address, ameliorate, and remediate your questions and problems about love, money, career, and spiritual protection using traditional African-American folk magic practices of hoodoo, conjure, or root work, as divined and prescribed by the greatest spiritual hoodooist of our times. You can learn a lot just by listening, but if you're selected from among those who signed up at the Lucky Mojo Forum at forum.luckymojo.com and called into the show, then you'll be on the air and receive a free consultation. We'll be going to the phones in just a moment, but first let's catch up with our co-hosts, Miss Kat and Conjurman Ali. Miss Kat?
Hi, and thank you for that lovely introduction. How have things been going with you this week, Tammy Lee?
Great. It's been a super week here in the Panhandle in the Gulf of Mexico. It's a little bit of crazy weather, but other than that, it's been a great week. We had Fat Tuesday, of course, on Tuesday of this past week, and that's a very big deal here along the Gulf Coast, and of course followed by Ash Wednesday. So it's been a very fun, interesting, rock and rolling week, and then kind of a calm down little period here. So along the Gulf Coast, everybody's just kind of relaxing now. So.
Well, very, very nice. I always like to be caught up on what's going on in Florida. And and Conjurman Ali, nice to talk with you again. How have things been in Southern California?
It's been lovely, you know. It's been a busy month, of course. And, you know, this has been really a month where we've had a lot of older clients kind of confirm their results that they've had from root work. And that's always nice because there seems to be a tendency, you do root work for a client. You know, you send them their photos or their products or whatever, and then you never really hear from them again. And you hope that, you know, everything turned out well. And divination often says, oh, you know, everything turned out. But it's always nice to get, you know, that email back or that call saying, hey, we were successful, we got what we wanted. So lots of that this past month, and that's been exciting. So it's made February a great month so far, and I hope that it ends on a great note as well.
Well, I've been noticing that too, actually, Ali. We had one person who posted a request at the Crystal Silence League Free Prayer Network for the return of a missing pet, and I thought, boy, that's a long shot. And it was a cat, I believe, and the cat's name was Magic. And I'm like, well, if anyone's going to come home, I guess Magic will. And and sure enough, Magic came back, and I'm like, that's pretty. After 5 months, okay.
Oh wow.
So, talk about, you know, your dream fulfilled. So yeah, it's been one of those kind of weeks. We've had a lot of that kind of stuff. Now today we have Rukaya with us. Hi, Rukaya.
Hello.
Greetings. How are you all?
Oh, just fine. And I'm so glad to have you back on the show. Rukaya has been with us before. And your company, Divine Spirit Ministries, is up in Ohio. Tell us what's been going on with you since the last time we checked in.
Oh, wow. So Divine Spirit Ministry and the salon, which is absolutely divine. Both of you all said, a lot of old clients have been calling, so it's got to be definitely something universally, obviously. A lot of old clients, a lot of new clients also. And just been having fun, doing what I love to do, and enjoying my clients, people, and just enjoying what I love to do. I really do.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm here, I'm open, I'm receptive, and praying that, you know, Spirit help guide me and direct me on the answers that, you know, everyone seeks or who I'm able to help today.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Well, I'm always very happy to have you working with us because you have, you know, you bring your own unique perspective. And if people are not familiar with you, why don't you tell us a little bit about some of the things that you do that are a little different. I know one of the things, and I always kind of brag on you to people because of this, you work a lot more than a lot of root workers do with very practical materials like diet and health. And in particular, you do distance prayer work for people, too. So why don't you tell us a little bit about some of that stuff?
Okay. Absolutely, Divine Spiritual Salon. A lot of people think that it's a salon where you get your hair done. But what Absolutely Divine Spiritual Salon is, it's a salon that you can come to and get all your spiritual needs met, whether it be from root work to holistic health and healing, prescribing herbs for someone. We do it all there. Anything spiritual related to spirituality, that's what I do. With distant healing, the prayer work that I do, you can be anywhere, Hawaii, all over different parts of the world. The prayers that I send out are very effective, and I'm thankful that I've been blessed with the gift, that gift.
When you say we, is there other people involved in the Absolutely Divine Spiritual Salon along with you?
Oh, yes. We have different people that do different things. We have Salima Moyo. She's a Yoruba priestess. We have Michelle Reed. Michelle Reed is a dream interpreter. We do different forms of healing massages. Let's see what else. Tarot card readings. Myself personally, I don't do tarot card readings. I'm a natural clairvoyant. And let's see, who else am I forgetting? Who am I forgetting? I'm forgetting somebody. I'll remember them in a minute. It's altogether it's about 7 or 8 of us there. And also past life regression. I have a lady that does past life regression there also.
Oh, wow.
So someone could come in and they could actually get a massage and a spiritual prescription as part of the same work.
Exactly. You can get a massage or any other form of healing modality, raindrop technique, chakra balancing, and also get some herbs prescribed to you if you're having some kind of health challenge. My path is for doing shamanic work, which is what I'm strong in. With Native American healing, that's where my code is, and my best. And also with my root work. And with my root work, I do believe in getting to the root of a problem. And somebody will come, Kat and Ali and Tammy, they'll come and, you know, nothing is guaranteed, of course, we know that and we have to say that, but you know, somebody can see a psychiatrist maybe for 10, 15 years, and they can come and I'll hit that root of that problem within a 20-minute period of time if Spirit allows me to do that. And, you know, it's kind of startling to some people, some of the work that I do. And sometimes, it's, you know, the work that we do sometimes is very scary, especially when you hit home with a lot of people.
Right.
You know, if you all are accurate with your work, it scares some people. And it's nothing to be scared of. It really should be exciting. You know, when you're able to do work and it's effective.
Yeah.
You know what's really interesting about that, too, is because, the salon is actually a brilliant combination of so many different healing modalities. But it really taps into that old root worker mentality because the old root doctor in a town fulfilled all these modalities. They were, you know, your physical doctors by prescribing some type of, you know, diet and herbs and roots and different teas. There were also people, if you were physically injured, they offered massages. And I know Kat talks about this in her course, which I highly recommend people take. You know, and then you also have the spiritual component of doing readings, reading people's spirits, and really getting to the core of their condition, the root. You know, that's where root doctrine really, you know, there's that play on words, root doctrine, getting to the root of the condition and healing. That's a beautiful setup you have there, Reverend Rokhaya.
Oh, thank
yeah.
you. And I think
well,
the whole list of health.
Well, you know, in the chat room, people are asking, where are you? Because they want to actually, you know, meet you and your crew and see about getting this kind of, you know, all together, all level reading
yeah.
and root work. You're in Eastlake, Ohio, and that
yes.
is near Cleveland, right?
Yes, it's a suburb outside of Cleveland.
Mm-hmm.
It's just a suburb outside of Cleveland, and I'm just throw stone away from Cleveland.
Yeah.
So it's not far at all.
But you know, but it's worth it for people. I mean, if someone you know lived in Alberta, Canada, it would be worth it to come down and see you. I mean, if someone lived in Mississippi, it'd be worth it to go up and see you. Back in the day, the older root workers who had this kind of a practice, people would come from many, many miles, many states away. To get hands-on root work, and
exactly.
so that is something that. Do you have people coming in from a long ways to see you?
Oh yes, definitely, and that's one of the things I was going to say. Aside from Divine Spirit Ministry and the salon, Absolutely Divine, I have a retreat house, and we're on the water, and it's a place that people can come to and stay a weekend or a week, and any work that they need to have done, whether it's physically, mentally, spiritually. It can
mm-hmm.
be done there. All right? And you have to, like I said, treat the whole of a person, which when I say holistic, I spell it with a W. And, people come from all over, Kat, to come here for a weekend or a week. And usually when people leave here, they usually leave out flying.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, that's beautiful, yeah.
Bring them back into balance and harmony.
Yeah, just to paint this picture, because, you know, just paint this picture. So this retreat house is on your property, right?
Yes, it is.
And so they can actually come and stay with you while you prescribe for them. This is a tremendous work, folks. This is not something mm-hmm. that in this day and age is offered. Back in the day, there was more people who did this, people out in the country, and you could go, you know, stay with them, and they would do healing work on you, and you could stay for 3 days or more. But what Rokhaya offers here, folks, take advantage of this. This is something that is so powerful. She has a place, a retreat house. She's out there you're out there on the lake, right? Literally on the lake.
Mm-hmm.
And this is a truly multicultural, multi-empowered modalities, because I know, Rokhaya, you work in a spiritualist, you work in a Reiki, you work in a Native American path and a shamanic path. Is that correct?
Exactly. And I am a Usuri Karuna Reiki master. Means that I have the highest degree when it comes to Reiki. I do have the highest degree in that. But along with that, aside from getting the degrees, it was something I was naturally born with. You just get the degrees because of society.
Right.
But for the most part, that's just a gift that I was born with. And I just enhanced it more with getting the certificates or whatever to go with that. But I am a Usuri Karuna Reiki master. And
mm-hmm.
I shamanic path. It's one that I've been on for 20 years, practicing with the Ojibwe out of Canada, and which is the tribe that I'm with. And like I said, I love what I do. I love helping people. And with the root work, a lot of the things that I do with the root work and the hoodoo work is not traditional. Everything is prescribed for you because if five different people come to me with love problems or healing problems or core cases or whatever, I'm not going to prescribe the same thing for each person.
Mm-hmm.
It may be a little twist on it, a little different, because I take the person as a whole, background, everything, ethnic background, everything, and study it. I study the seven major religions to incorporate in my practice so I can talk to each person on their language and non-traditional religions, definitely Wicca and, like I said, shamanic, Buddhism. So, you know, we have to be well-rounded in the work that we do in order to help those that seek our help. And I know all of us are very gifted in our gifts and what we do.
Right.
Yeah. But this is a whole. It's the whole person that you're treating. What were you going to say, Ollie?
I was saying there was a bunch of people in the chat room that are saying, "Oh, I wish I could go. I wish I could go." Well, my friends, it's not about wishing to go. It's about picking up and actually going. You know, like Kat says, mm-hmm. this really is a unique experience that doesn't. You know, you don't hear about it anymore, and it's unfortunate because it seems in other countries. People are willing to travel to see their spiritual workers. They are. I mean, if there's a spiritual worker in South Mexico, you can bet that people in North Mexico will make the trip to go see that person. With Reverend Rukaya's setup, she's opened her doors for healing. And this isn't just healing on one level. This is healing on so many different levels where you're immersing yourself in that type of healing modality. I absolutely would recommend anyone, and not just if you live nearby, but to make the trip, you know. Take a weekend off because there is no distance that you should be unwilling to travel when it comes to transforming your life. You know, absolutely go for it.
Oh, I said so true. So true.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
For any of the people that are listening, that's saying that I wish I can come, and it starts with, first of all, believing, and that you can attract that to you, the finances, the money, whether it's babysitters that you don't have for that weekend or whatever, attract it to you. This is a part of spiritual work, too. Attract it to you. If it's meant for you to come here, then by all means, I know that a way will be made for you.
Mm-hmm.
All right?
Mm-hmm.
I know we'll be made.
Yeah. Well, it's really an amazing set of gifts that you offer, and as you said, you're going to be able to work because you have a multicultural background, African American, Native American, and then training in these other methodologies, these other theologies, like you said, the seven major religions. What you offer is something that anyone could take advantage of, no matter what their background. And that's something pretty amazing. I am so happy to have met up with you, and so happy that you have joined AIR, because you're someone who's living the dream that many would-be readers and root workers have. You know, how can I really be a healer, and not just read cards on the telephone, but really be a healer? And that's you. You're one of the few, and you are an important person in our community. So very pleased to have you on the show, and to let people know that there is so much more to this than just, I got my cards read, and then they burned a candle for me.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Well, absolutely.
Yeah.
Well said.
Yeah.
And,
all right, Rukaya. Well, I hope this little discussion about what it is that you do brings some more people to you. folks, if you go to see Rukaya, you will not be disappointed. It's a full experience, and she will really, her emphasis is on healing. Now, we do have some callers who are calling in for readings and for root work. So let's turn ourselves over to Miss Tammy Lee and get set up with our first caller if we can.
Yes, ma'am, Miss Kat. And just a reminder to everyone, the Lucky Mojo Hoodoo Rootwork Hour with your hosts, Catherine Ironwood and Kanjaman Ali, and this week's special guest, Reverend Rukaya Shaman. We'll be right back. We'll be taking calls from our listeners, answering their questions through spiritual divination, and prescribing down-home conjure remedies and remediation. Our call-in clients are selected from among those who have filled out a short questionnaire at the Lucky Mojo Forum at forum.luckymojo.com. You can listen to the show online through Blog Talk Radio or via telephone by dialing 818-394-8535. If you have filled out a client questionnaire at the forum, please dial in now to 818-394-8535 and press 1 to let us know that you're available to be on the air. We will select callers by their area code, and if your area code is announced, we'd like for you to say hello and let me, your announcer, Ms. Tammy Lee, read a brief description of your situation before turning it over to our host. Excuse me. Now it's time to go to the phones to take our first client, and our first client is calling from Texas, from area code 956 from Harlingen, Texas. This is Sally Zanari there.
Yes, hi. Thank you.
Hi. Welcome to the show. And
oh,
and you also go by Galvanized 8, so I'll just let them know that too. And
yes,
I'm going to go ahead and read a brief situation of your description for our host and our guest member of AIR. This is a first-time caller, and she writes, I was told I had negative spirits surrounding me. I have not had luck in love or work. Turning it back over to you.
Oh, short and sweet.
Short and sweet. Okay, is your name pronounced Salinton?
It's Selena.
Say it again, Selena?
Correct.
Okay. All right, I'm going to ask a couple of questions since you wrote a very short thing. First of all, what is your sign of the zodiac?
I'm Scorpio.
Okay. Well, you will have luck in love. Don't worry about that, baby. There's no Scorpio yet born who doesn't end up with love. I mean, that's Scorpio is the loving sign, so you will. But you've been told you have negative spirits, and I'm going to ask one more question, and then I will do the reading. When you were told you had negative spirits around you, was this from a reader that you went to?
I called in a reader, yes.
Okay. All righty. Because I'm going to say something. Well, I'll hold on to my thoughts. I think a lot of people already know what I'm about to say, but I'm going to throw down three cards and see. So the question is, do you have negative spirits around you, and what is happening, okay? And why have you had no luck in love? All right, well, the first card I have is called the Four of Swords. This does show that there is some sort of a disappointment, a loss, or a hold has been put on your energy, something from the past. But it doesn't sound to me so much like negative spirits as events of your past have caused you to kind of withdraw from life a little bit. The card shows a coffin, but it's not yet being used. There's nobody dead, but they've like prepared their coffin. So in a way, it's like you've prepared yourself for disappointments, but you don't necessarily have to live through them. The next card I have is a card called the Eight of Swords. This shows a woman tied and bound with swords around her. If you were attacked, it was in the past. The swords are stuck in the ground. She is not under current threat. She can wriggle out. She could hire a helper to wriggle herself out of these bonds and things that have tied her. Some person in your past hurt you, but it is, again, not so much negative spirits. It's more like someone threw for you. It isn't a question, as far as I see it so far with these cards, of a parasitic spirit that has been with you forever and ever. Something happened in the past. The next card, third card of the future, is Justice. It tells me that you can be given spiritual justice. You will be able to pick up where you went off. Your life will be restored to balance, and things will be better. Now, what's interesting is all three of these cards have swords in them. Four of Swords is a sword card. Eight of Swords has a woman with swords, and Justice is a woman holding a sword. So it does say that decisive action is necessary. You need to not just coast along with this. You need to do something to cut these past things off of you. So that's what I see as far as a reading. Now, let me ask Rukaya, how do you read for this woman?
Hi, Selena. How are you? Is it Selena?
Tony. My name is Tony, and my last name is Selena.
Okay, your name is Tony.
Yes.
Okay, T-O-N-I?
Yes, correct.
Okay, hi, Tony.
Thank you. Hi.
I'm feeling my read is from a spiritual standpoint, I see things being fine with you. If in the past things have not been going for the last few years, things have not been going well for you, I see things are picking up for you. I see clarity. I do see that you've been hurt by an old lover, that you were holding on to that for a while. Isn't that, didn't you say that, Kat, also?
Yes, that's why I see that. Yeah, this is why I see this, the Eight of Swords. It was done in the past, though.
Yeah,
it's past.
It was the past. Uh-huh. something that she held onto for a while, but it was a past, it seemed like it was a past lover, it was a male, and definitely some hurt there. But I do see things clearing up for you, so things are going to start getting better for you, Tony, without any doubt. Just hold on just a little longer, ride it out. Things are going to be getting better for you. That's all I can say. You know, things are going to be getting better for you, without any doubt. Okay?
Yeah. Now, I'm going to stick in with one little thing here before we go to Ollie and some ideas about how to take off these remnants of the past and clean you up.
Mm-hmm.
A lot of times, people like you, and may I ask, how old are you about?
I'm 36.
36. Okay, well, you're old enough possibly to have had this happen to you more than once, and if so, it's time to stop it, which is... there are readers on the internet and in the world. I mean, I've gone to readers on the street who do this, who will tell you that you have negative spirits around you in order to keep on taking your money. And I want you to be careful about that. I do see that something was done, but it's in the past. And I don't see it as something that you could, in other words, a course of healing baths or a prayer, this thing can be in the past. But there are people who will, I guess you could say they make it worse for you so that they can be the hero that makes it better, and they'll charge you a lot of money for it. So be careful. One of the phrases that's always a warning phrase for me is they say, you have negative spirits around you. It's almost like a script that some of them have learned. Another one they'll say is, you have a dark aura, or you have a hole in your aura. Okay?
Yep.
So be careful. I took your question seriously, but I did have some doubts about it just because of the way it was phrased. I think you were maybe ran up against what I would call a dishonest reader, okay?
Yeah.
Do you agree with that, Rukaya?
Yeah, that's what I was going to say. That's what I'm saying. I didn't pick up anything as far as having negative energies or spirits. I don't feel that. I don't pick that up at all. And I'm with Kat. It is so many people out here that's just out here to unethical people out here doing this work. So you do have to be careful. And but I definitely don't see any hex or any energy like that around you at all. Okay?
Right.
Don't see it at all.
You know what? And I started kind of to believe it because I was like, God, things are not going my way, you know, but I'm like, no, you know, it can't be because I don't think so, you know.
Well, that's the power of these, you know, what we call them gypsy scans or these reading scams is what they do is they plant that seed. And that, in my opinion, is more powerful than many curses out there. You know, I know plenty of people who wish they were so fortunate at being able to curse people as these fakes are. In that they plant the seed of fear, and fear is its own demon. It's a very powerful, powerful force. And then even when things go your way, you go, oh, but sooner or later going to get bad. And when you have that negative ideation, it will naturally go bad for you. You will look for excuses. It's like waking up in the morning and stubbing your toe and letting the rest of the day get ruined, or stubbing your toe and go, whatever, and then moving on from it. Well, they really set that seed, and then it grows into its own monstrous tree in your mind, and that's what's going on in this situation. Is that you let this, you know, the idea of these negative spirits kind of haunt you when they're, you know, with the lack of the spirits themselves. Now, Kat and
Rukaya, I was kind of scared.
Oh, absolutely.
Yeah.
You know, it's natural to be afraid, but here's the thing: it's your life, darling. You need to reclaim it. You can't give power. From you, you can't give power over your life to some reader that you met, you know, who's telling you that there's evil spirits, because that's what you did. You gave them power, and now this fear is taking on a life of its own. Now, Ms. Kat and Reverend Rukaya have both absolutely pinpointed that there was something in your past, but what you've done is that you've let this thing become a monster for you. You've clung onto it. What needs to happen is you need to clear everything out and start fresh. What I recommend in situations like this is a cut and clear, which is, you know, great for something like this. It removes the past, brings something new. But I want to add just a little element to a cut and clear. What I want you to do is after you do the cut and clear, I want you to also do what's called a love uncrossing. And this was really traditional back in the day, because root workers and Reverend Rokai really talked about this earlier, about this healing modality, viewed all the conditions of life as aberrations of health. So when love wasn't going your way, that means there was an illness also. And so what you did is you removed the condition. So what you want to do is you want to take a bath with rue, rose petals, and violet leaves. This will cure you of your heart problem, so to speak, of your hurt, of your fear. It will restore and uncross your love life. Get yourself a black and red double action candle. Flip it, bud it. Dress the black portion with uncrossing, the red with love me, and burn that down. Then you want to rebuild your strength. You know, once you started off by cleansing yourself, by uncrossing the effects of the past, by removing this fear, then you want to rebuild your strength. I want you to work with things like master root. I want you to work with things like Queen Elizabeth root Yeah, absolutely. You, and Angelica, you sound so sweet on the phone. And, you know, you're a Scorpio. Let's bring that out in you. Scorpios are sexy signs, you know. Let's bring that out. Work with Queen Elizabeth. Work with Angelica. Work with, you know, make yourself a mojo bag and add some catnip out in there, too, so that when you go out, you're drawing, you know, affection towards you from all directions. And once you are able to clear away this path, stop letting it haunt you, and reclaim your inner queen, you're going to find that things will go your way, not just in the form of love, but also financially. Because once you reclaim power over your life, these so-called spirits no longer have power over you. This reader no longer has power over you. And then you're actively creating your life. You're actively, you know, reaching out for your destiny. Okay, does that make sense to you, my dear?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
I want to say one other thing too. Just Ollie, all of those things are really good. Violet leaf is very good. Heart's ease, pansy is good for uncrossing, love uncrossing spell. And the things you mentioned were very good. I'm going to say one more thing about the reader. If when you leave a reader, your major feeling is fear or being scared.
Mm-hmm.
You know that was not a real reader and root worker, because a real reader and root worker, and Rukaya, you testify here, we're here to bring you through, not to hold you down.
Yeah, you're right.
Absolutely.
So a real root worker would not have said, hey, there's all this terrible stuff, but okay, here's something that's happened, and now we're going to go onward. We're going to move on. So the things that were prescribed as a uncrossing, love uncrossing bath involve rue. Rue is used for uncrossing, and there's other. You can just take uncrossing bath crystals and add love bath crystals to it, and you'd have a very simple love uncrossing bath. Someone asked, do we make a love uncrossing thing? No, most people just mix them. Uncrossing, mix them together. But also use some of those herbs in the bath, too. So, Rukaya, what would you recommend?
You know what, Ali? You know, the bath that Ali described, I think, is wonderful. And before you gave her that bath, I saw her smelling red roses.
Mm.
So I was with the bath that Ali suggested, Countryman Ali suggested. Get you some fresh red roses, Tony. And just smell them. Get some real red roses, because a lot of the roses now don't have the smell of a rose. Get a rose that smells like a rose, all right? And just, I know small things, I know a lot of times people, we say simple things and stuff is small, and people go, how does that help me? You'll be surprised at smelling a rose after you've taken this wonderful bath, how it's going to uplift your spirit, and you're going to feel clean. You're going to feel clean. You do it, and you'll see what we're all talking about. Fresh red roses, smell those. With the bath that he suggested, and uncrossing, the root, all that. I mean, that's wonderful. That's a wonderful prescription.
Mm-hmm. I love the addition of rose, too. That's actually great. You know, people don't realize that the power of herbs are so, and flowers and roots are so powerful. And it's so symbolic here, because what you're doing is you want to remove the spirit of fear and bring in the spirit of love and the spirit of the rose. So that's what you're doing. I like that suggestion. Definitely work with the red rose, yes.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
I'm going to say another thing, too. As far as roses go, there is something about smelling roses that unless you're allergic, and of course some people are, but I'm just going to leave those people aside and feel sorry for them. But for those of us who are not allergic, when you hand a person a rose to smell, have you ever noticed they smell and then all of a sudden they smell again? They go, and it makes you get a deep breath. It's something about the rose that makes us want to smell more deeply than any other flower. It's just, it'll drive people to do that. Sometimes irises, which is Queen Elizabeth root, will do the same. Not all irises have a smell. People don't even know enough to go down and stick their nose in the iris flower and smell it. But some of those bearded irises have a smell like that, and it'll do the same thing. So there is something physiological about the smell of a rose that will inspire you. Now, what does inspire mean? It means to take a breath inward. Inspire.
Yes.
But it's literally a spiritual inspiration that comes to you when you smell roses. And what Rukaya suggested here is make them be red roses, but be sure you get the kind that do have a good aroma. Or just go, you know, if you have to get them from a garden, smell them first before you bring them in. Have them when you take that bath. Walk out into an area where you have some beautiful roses. Or if you have to buy them from a florist, tell the florist, I want roses with a scent, and I don't care what they look like. I want the best scent of the roses. Okay? That's what
we're
talking about.
Okay, let me ask you a quick question. When I take a bath, I just go into, you know, my tub, and I just lay there with the roses or the water or...
Oh, no, honey. You're going to bathe yourself in a spiritual way. You want to... you know, let that water flow over you. Remove these cross conditions from me, and then bathe upward. Bring me my love. Some people will do it in two baths: one for uncrossing, one for love, and continue to do the love enhancing baths once a week until you find that new lover. You're a Scorpio. You're going to find love.
Yep.
I need to go back to the archives and get all the ingredients that you are giving me.
Yeah, right. Well, that the archives are available on Blog Talk Radio. Good for you for knowing that. Anybody who misses us as we talk too fast, just go back and listen to it at Blog Talk Radio. You can get all the recipes that we give out here. All right.
Yeah, let me ask another question. You do have
Noelle, I think our time is up with you, honey. I'm sorry. We got to move on to our next caller.
I was just going to ask if you have it at the store, in your store.
I'm sorry. Say that if we have it, what
if
we have at the store, well... we don't sell roses, but we sell rose oil. We sell Love Me products, Uncrossing products, things like that.
Okay.
You can look in the catalog, okay?
Okay.
All right, good luck to you.
Okay. Thank you very much.
Thank you.
Thank you. Take care.
Thanks,
all right, Miss Tammy Lee.
Yes, ma'am, Miss Kat. And the Lucky Mojo Hoodoo Rootwork Hour is brought to you each week by the Lucky Mojo Curio Company in Forestville, California. Lucky Mojo manufactures and distributes all the paraphernalia of hoodoo and conjure, including anointing oil, sachet powders and incense, crystal salt for spiritual baths and floor wash, herbs, resins, waters, and colognes, roots, zoological and mineral curios, books, candles, and religious goods, folklore amulets, talismans, and charms. Drop by if you're in the area or find us online at luckymojo.com. Now let's return to those callers who signed up at the Lucky Mojo Forum. We have two 909 callers calling in today, and this would be Rebecca Lynn from 909. This is from San Bernardino, California. Rebecca Lynn, are you there, caller?
I am, and I'm so glad to be here.
Well, thank you. Hi. Welcome to the show. I'm going to go ahead, Rebecca Lynn, and read the description of your situation. And she writes, I've known a good handful of people who have accidentally become wealthy by just being in the right place at the right time. I mean millions of dollars. And suddenly, without anticipation or expectation, they did not have a business venture or attempt gambling. They weren't seeking wealth at all and didn't lift a finger to achieve it. Typically, the source of their wealth was a philanthropic source or non-biological inheritance that was bestowed upon them by someone they barely knew, One lady I know claims she just assisted an elderly lady with her groceries who happened not to have any children. And when she passed away, she left her entire fortune to her. She became very wealthy just for doing a random act of kindness. I should also mention that these recipients with whom I'm acquainted have seemingly no knowledge of root work or other esoteric systems to have been able to attract such fortune through this method. They just seem to be lucky folks. And I've asked myself, how can I become that lucky? My question is, how would I approach such a feat of great luck and financial fortune with root work alone and without having to make deliberate efforts to place myself into a potentially profitable situation? How can I draw the opportunity to me and clearly so that I recognize it when it comes without having to actively seek it? Turning it back over to you.
I just have to say, first of all, I got to thank Joseph for shortening that because it was long. But, honey, you just answered your own question, sweetheart. These people had no knowledge of root work. They were lucky, but they were also people who were kind people. You can't say, I'd like to use root work to draw opportunities to me so I can recognize them. The whole point of it was they didn't recognize them. They did it out of pure good-heartedness. It's kind of like, I'm sure there's a parable of Jesus that would cover this, but I'm not going to get into that right now. But this is interesting. Let's do a reading on it. Ali, what do you think?
I have to 100% agree with you. Rebecca Lynn, I understand where you're coming from. And at some point, we've all been there. We've all been saying, well, this person got rich so easily, why can't I get rich that easily? And there's a couple things. Before I even turn the cards or peer into my crystal ball, I'm going to say a couple of things. First, root work doesn't work that way. There are times where you can absolutely do miraculous things with any type of spiritual tradition. There are times where, you know, I've lit a candle and it's had such effect and it blew me away. But root work is work. Spiritual work is meant to give you an edge in this life. It is not meant to be the answer to all your issues. It will not make money appear at your front door. I'm sorry, it will not. And I can tell you, as a man who's worked in so many different traditions, I've worked with some of the most powerful spirits on this planet, and every single one of them will absolutely bring you money. You better make sure that you have a job or some avenue for them to manifest through. You know, there's gambling works, but you better go out and gamble. You're saying, oh, I want money, but I don't want to have to gamble for it, or they didn't have to gamble for it. Why can't it just appear? I'm sorry, right off the bat, I'm going to say it's not going to work that way. Second of all, I'm going to give you a quick quote. It's a famous Arab quote. It says, when you're considering material things, look at someone who has less than you that you may be grateful. When you are considering your character, look at someone whose character is better than yours that you may strive for higher virtue. So there's a sense of gratefulness here, okay? Just bear that in mind as we go through the reading. Now, I've pulled three cards, and I'm going to go over these three cards, and it's funny because they, right off of the bat, speak about financial issues. The very first card that we have is the Knight of Swords. And this is a man who's he's a very fierce knight with silver armor, and he's riding his horse at breakneck speeds through the desert, and he's raising his sword, charging forth. And this is what you are. You want to charge out there and get the money that you want right off the bat. You want it to come to you. You want it to appear before you. You want it to come through some unknown avenue, very clear and open, without having to really do much work for it. You want to be like these other people you've experienced. I understand that mentality. I completely get it. There's a whole host of reasons why these people could have gotten rich. There could be astrological favors. There could be spiritual things going on. But the Knight of Swords is a person who's charging forth, but not necessarily with wisdom. So it's giving us the advice of stepping back, considering your position, and really reassessing your desire. Okay, grounding it in reality so that it isn't so, hasty. The next card that we have is the Knight of Pentacles. So now we have two separate knights. This knight is the exact opposite of the Knight of Swords, and it speaks to your position and what you need to do to gain success. This knight is the only knight that is stationary. He's sitting on his black horse, and he's got a pentacle or a gold coin in his hand, and behind him is a tilled field or farmland. This talks about the knight who has two separate jobs. This is the man who tilled his field and now is waiting for it to sprout so that he can harvest it. This is talking about actually doing the work, unfortunately, there isn't going to be a quick answer to this. I'm not going to be able to say, hey, you know what, light this candle, tomorrow you're going to be rich. It's not going to happen. This card is telling us very clearly, you're going to have to work for your wealth. You know, you're going to have to put the effort in. You can plant the seeds, both material seeds and spiritual seeds. You know, you can, if you want to work the gambling route, you're going to have to actually go and get the lottery. If you're going to work, you know, with steady wealth, you're going to have to make sure that you have business ventures, endeavors, and you're going to have investment. This is the card of investing. You're going to have to make physical, financial investments in order to get what you want. And the third card that we get is the Four of Pentacles. This shows a little king. We call him the Miser King. Often our readers have little titles for these different cards, and this one is known as the Miser King. He's a small king who's been kicked out of his city, and he's sitting on a bench, and he's got a coin on his head, a coin clutched to his chest, and two more coins under his feet. You know, this is a man who's clutching at his fortune. And I can sense that in the near future, I don't see that there is going to be a large a surplus of wealth coming your way, that you're going to have money, that you're going to have financial stability, but it's going to be built up slowly, it's going to be built up over time. I do not foresee wealth suddenly coming to you from unexpected sources and in large sums. More importantly, this card kind of gives us another advice. You know, the cards have admonitions tied to them of not clutching to the concept of finances in the way that you're doing, but to change. Start by bringing money in, flowing it in from a natural source, like a job, a second job, doing steady work, doing money drawn, and get the finances flowing so that you can build up your success. Because right now, your idea, this four, you're very much like this Four of Pentacles. You're kind of clutching to this coin, waiting for more to show up. Well, it's not going to work that way. You're going to have to actively go out and seek it. So that's what my reading is telling you right now. Let's turn to my colleagues and see what they see, if they agree with me or if they have a different perspective.
All right. Well, we're gonna get to some remediation and some ideas from Rukaya, but I just want to throw in a little bit of a reading here too. And I want to say something, and I don't mean to be disrespectful here, but if wealth is a sign of favor from God, why wasn't Jesus wealthy? Okay, I mean, wealth is only, luck is one thing, but it's not the all thing. Their health is important. I'll tell you, there are many people who have a beautiful home and have lost their health and just wish only for their health, and they would live in a tent if they could, if they had their health back. So as you go through life, bear in mind that God favors us in many ways, but wealth is not the greatest favor of all. The love of our family and the love and respect of our friends is the greatest, because even our health will fail us in the end. So I'm just trying to go a little preach on you, but let's talk about it from the question you asked. Okay, so what I've got is I've done a little bone casting, and I've just simply reached in and grabbed some bones, okay? Now, what I have here is a set of four bones, and they're very tightly patterned. They just sort of fell here. You are a person who actually can make some money, because I do see a coin here. It's a silver dime, and it's heads up, so that's good. It is right next to a hand, which is pointing toward a little carved bone hand with an eye on it. It says, be aware of your opportunities and also protect yourself from those who are evil.
Mm-hmm.
There is a money cowrie here, and the money cowrie is nestled within a wishbone. So that tells me pray for money, pray for luck. You do have the opportunity to make money. That's not the issue. But root work is not a substitute for helping that little old lady across the street. If you want lucky money of that type, you need to be that type of person. So I would use some a lucky coin is a good thing to use. Carry a lucky coin with you. This came up in the reading.
Okay.
And the lucky cowrie shell also says you can increase your luck by possibly carrying some sorts of talismans and doing that kind of work. However, the wishbone says, you know, you need to formulate your wish, and you need to, rather than ask me, how do I make this wish, you need to make it yourself. But I would say, let me be a tool in God's toolkit. and and let my reward be material comfort if thou so willest, but I will be of help to others. In other words, those people put themselves in that position where the philanthropy came to them because they were opening their hearts. And it's not just a matter of luck, but it's also a matter of being willing to be used by God, is how I see it, or by spirit, however you want to say it.
Okay.
Now, having said that, Rukaya, your turn. What would you tell her to do to increase her luck, to put her in the way of receiving financial benefits?
Okay. First of all, I'd like to say, Ali, Countryman Ali and Kat, what you all said are really right on point. I think it's excellent what you all said. It's great. One of the things, Rebecca, it's Rebecca, right? Rebecca Lynn or Rebecca?
Rebecca Lynn.
Rebecca Lynn? Can she
hear? Yes.
Hello? Okay. Rebecca Lynn, one of the things that I was saying also, too, or one of the things I was thinking that when people, when things happen to other people like that, we never know their ancestor, what's going on with their ancestor. A lot of times people that have luck or health challenges or different things that happen to them, like you said, why are these people having this kind of luck? We don't know what their ancestors did. Their ancestors may have been people that helped other people, and sometimes they pay, your generations pay for what their ancestors have done.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know if you understand
okay.
what I'm saying with that, but that you pay for what your ancestors. So if they had a grandmother or a great-grandmother or a great-great-grandmother that helped people and was healing, and she never got the rewards in this life, then her great-great-grandchildren will reap the rewards of something that the grandmother did hundreds of years ago. All right, so that could be also what was happening. What I would say to you is that your thoughts. I would say that check your thoughts. Where if you check your thoughts every 15 minutes, are you a positive thinker or a negative thinker? If you're a negative thinker, then you're not going to pull the energy to you that you need to attract the wealth, the money, love, whatever it is that you need. You have to check your thoughts. If you check
okay.
your thoughts every 15 minutes and it's in a negative state, or if you're thinking negative about stuff or you're feeling some kind of way because somebody else has gotten something and it's not in a positive sense, it's going to throw what you're supposed to be receiving off. Check your thoughts. Find out where they're. If you're in a positive state of mind, I would say 70% of the time, you'll start building that up. Try to get to 80%, 90%, thinking positive. I know it sounds a little weird. Think positive, and you're going to attract positive things to you. If wealth is what you want, not saying that if you think positive, and I want money, that that's what's going to happen, but then it could. All right? So I would say think positive. For some reason, I'm just saying check your consciousness on your thinking as far as how you're looking at other people and what they're receiving, but check your thoughts and that you're not a negative thinker. If you're a negative thinker, you're not going to attract nothing to you but negativity. If you're a positive thinker, you're going to attract that positive Rebecca Lynn to you, and you'll start reaping the rewards of positive thinking. With that, that was the only thing for some reason that I picked up for you to do. I mean, you can take a wonderful bath, spiritual bath, to attract money to you, but like Countryman Ali said, it's not going to come at your door like that. You really have to work for it and put the effort to attract that kind of money and wealth to you. And we can help people with candle work, baths, a lot of different things, bags, mojo bags or whatever, to attract money. And it'll come in slowly but surely, but you have to really work at even that, to even attract that to you after a while, even with a gambling hand. You might go that one time and hit something real good that one time, but you have to build it up, Rebecca Lynn. But my thing is for you to check your consciousness and are you a positive thinker or a negative thinker?
I'm going to say something, too. When I say this, and I want you to understand, everyone's different, and Rukaya hit on this. We come from different families, different paths. We live different lifestyles, and we're on different trajectories. We're all kind of interwoven together in community, but we all have a separate identity, like separate threads. One person may be born lucky and the other may not. You could check your stars, too. But what I'm seeing here is, personally, from me to you, my message to you is something that someone brought up in the chat room. Do you tithe? Do you give? And some people just institutionalize their giving. Oh, I'm just going to give to charity. But I'm saying that you may need to start to flow that money outward a little bit to give. And if it's not money, that doesn't mean you have to tithe money necessarily. You could tithe attention. Like go to the Crystal Silence League and look at all the people who pray and pray with them for their happiness and goodness. In other words, become part of the helping group of people. I do think that you were told by Ali, and I see it too, that you personally may not be destined for one of these windfalls. But that doesn't mean that God doesn't favor you. It just means God has another path for you. You understand what I'm saying?
I do, and I appreciate all these insights. I would have to work on that positive thought thing that Rekaya suggested. And I wanted to ask you, Kat, can you please define for me a lucky coin? Is it one that is manufactured for me? Do I bless one?
Oh, sure. There's many, many ways that people have lucky coins. Some people say that the lucky coin is the one you find on the street heads up. If you find it tails up, it's not lucky for you. Flip it over and let it be heads up for the next person because that wasn't your lucky coin. Some people pick a lucky coin based on what's on the coin. For instance, if I was a harp player, I might want one of those Irish coins that had the Irish harp on it because it would be lucky for me. If I worked at Marine World and I worked with the dolphins, I might want one of those Irish coins that had a dolphin on it, right? If I was a slave in America before the Civil War, I might want a coin that had a woman's head on it said Liberty and had 13 stars and one of them at the center, and I'd drill a hole at that. That would be my North Star, and I'd go north to get Liberty. So a coin can be one you can select. It can be one that has traditionally good luck, like a silver dime. But it should be a coin that speaks to you. Whether you find it, whether it's gifted to you, or whether you purchase it, you'll just know it. Dress it with Van Van oil. Clean it up. Dress it with Van Van oil and wear it either. Some people don't like to poke a hole in a coin. They say, no, the coin was a hole, and I'm going to leave it whole, and they just wear it in a little pouch or in their pocket. Others will say, I'm going to drill a hole in it, and I'm going to wear it as a necklace or on my ankle. That's up to you. But a lucky coin can be so many different things. I have my own. There are lucky tokens. These were made in the 1930s, and they were usually made of brass or bronze, and they will say on them, good luck. Carry me for luck. And they were actually literally made as a lucky token. You can find old ones on eBay. They go for about $20 to $30 each, old ones. And I have a real fondness for some particular ones of those. Okay.
There's also a large collection of lucky charms at Lucky Mojo. You know, you can go, in addition to a coin, what I would do is probably string a coin with one of those lucky talismans. You know, like a horseshoe or these different talismans that are available at Lucky Mojo, you might even consider. Now, Kat, you offer talismaking services, if I remember correctly.
Right. I also will, and there are other root workers too. If someone has some good luck coins that they've collected, some people like lucky coins to come from all around the world when they meet people, or you find that's another one. Finding a strange coin in your change, like all of a sudden I've got a Swedish coin in my change. How did that happen? You know, and it's like boom, it's just there. So I'm going to keep that for a lucky coin. I will empower those or do spell work on them, and bless and dress them for you. Or you could learn to do it yourself. But I do empower talismans for people, also jewelry. All right.
One last suggestion?
Sure.
May I make a suggestion?
Mm-hmm.
Hello?
Okay. Yeah.
I just want to say one last thing, just touching on the tithing. You're tithing of your time, your talent, and your treasure. As Kat said, it doesn't always have to be about money and wealth. And the people that you were speaking of tithe of their time when they helped the person across the street or whatever it was that they did, that was a form of tithing. If you get into that energy, Rebecca Lynn, of tithing of either your time, your talent, whatever you're good at, get into that energy field of tithing, and that will bring you a little bit of luck. All right?
Mm-hmm.
And don't be fearful of tithing up your time, talent, or your treasure, because most people have the mindset if they have $100, they can't tithe $10. But if they tithe that $10, it'll bring them back maybe another $100. All right? Mm-hmm. Just get into that energy fill of your time, talent, or treasure, whatever that is. All right? So I just wanted to say that because that is a tithing is powerful.
That's right. That's right. Thank you. Thank you, Rukai, for that. That is absolute truth. All right, Miss Tammy Lee, let's go on to our next caller.
Yes, ma'am, Miss Kat. And support for this program is provided by the Lucky Mojo Curio Company in Forestville, California, and located online at luckymojo.com, and by the Association of Independent Readers and Root Workers, AIR, a directory of ethical and authentic conjure practitioners, located online at readersandrootworkers.org, and by the Crystal Silence League, a free online prayer service of missionary independent spiritual churches, located online at crystalsilenceleague.org. Now it's time to go to the phones and take our next client. And our next client is also calling from area code 909. This is MAV4594, calling from Rancho Cucamonga, California. Mav, are you there?
Yes, I am.
Welcome to the show.
Thank you.
I'm going to go ahead and read the brief description of your situation. And he writes, I've worked on a vinegar jar on one of my girlfriend's ex-boyfriends. He brought a lot of drama and issues into our lives, making us fight constantly and making our families fight as well. I already worked and buried the jar. All I want to know is what the outcome of the spell will be and if he will get what he deserves. Turning it back over to you.
All right, Rukaya, we're going to throw this one in your lap. So you did a vinegar jar on your girlfriend's ex-boyfriend, and you finished it. And all your question, what you want a reading on, is what is the outcome, and will it do what you wanted it to do? Will he get what he deserves? Is that correct?
Yes, it is.
All right, take it away, Rukaya. Let's see what you have to say.
Okay, something I'm not clear on. Say that again. I'm not clear on what you're saying. You did a vinegar jar on your girlfriend's ex-boyfriend? Is that what you said?
Yeah, it's more like lover.
On your girlfriend's ex-lover?
Yes.
Okay. Are you and her still together?
Yes, we are.
Okay. I don't know, I'm confused about something. I don't know. I'm confused about something. Somebody else answer. I'm confused. I don't know. For some reason, I'm picking up some confusion. What he's asking is,
he did the vinegar jar, and he wants to know if the spell is going to work on this guy.
Can I ask you, what was your intention when you made the vinegar jar for him, for an ex-lover?
Yes.
Is he still in her life?
That's the thing. He's constantly in and out of it.
Okay. So. And you want him out of her life?
Yes.
Correct? Okay,
yes.
So that's why you did the vinegar jar?
Yes.
Okay, all right. If your intentions, Maeve, is it Maeve?
Yes, it is.
Maeve.
If your intentions when you did it were right, and if he's a disturbance to you and your girlfriend at this time, if you're asking if I see it working, I don't see it working. I don't see it working at this time. I don't know what else you're going to have to do now. Conjurman Ali and Kat might see something different, but that's what I'm trying to figure out. Why I don't see it working, I can't answer that. It seems like there's something else that I'm not hearing or feeling or seeing about the situation. It seems like it's more to it than that. And I have to have all the information to give a certain decision. But if you ask me and what I'm actually seeing, I'm seeing the vinegar jar not being as effective as you would like it to be at this time.
Mm.
All right? How long ago was it that you started or did it?
It was about a month ago.
And you don't see any results of it?
Well, the thing is, I haven't been on it checking. You know, I just let it be.
Okay, so you haven't did the work behind the vinegar jar to, for it to work like it should. So then that's probably why I'm not seeing it being as effective as it should be. You just did it and just left it alone?
Yes.
Okay. All right, then. That's probably why I'm saying what I'm saying. All right, then. Well, we have to do the work. When you do something, you put the intention behind it. Did you see any parts of it working for you? Anything? Did you see any signs of not?
The thing is, it's distant. Like I can't really, you know, go in and see if it actually is working. That's why.
Are you well? But are things between you and the girlfriend better?
Yes, they have been.
All right. Well, that's something. But you want to know is because the vinegar jar is usually done. Let's let our readers in on this. A vinegar jar is usually done to sour someone's life or to cause a breakup. So was the vinegar jar between the ex-boyfriend and the girlfriend? In other words, it was to break them apart, or was it just to sour his life?
No, just to sour his life.
Okay,
yeah.
So you have no evidence because you just did it, and you want to know, is it working? Now, Rukaya says she doesn't see it working yet. Something seems off to her about this situation. Let's go to Ali and see what Ali, what do you see here?
I agree with Reverend Rukaya, Mav. I have a sense that while you did the work, and there will be some result from it, that there will be some form of effect in the sense that you've soured his life. I don't sense that you completely that your intent is going to fully manifest. And I'm speaking directly from my spirit of divination right now, who shows me that, yes, there's going to be some upheavals in this person's life, that you're going to cause this person's life to go up and down, and you're going to cause a little bit of souring, but I don't sense that you're, you know, exacting vengeance as you kind of hope. However, I'm also being advised that your approach is incorrect, that while this person has brought a lot of drama in your life, that your intent should not be to destroy his, but to remove him from your girlfriend's life and to keep him away, is where you should be headed. You will find far more success in that avenue of work than in trying to ruin this person's life. You know, the souring, you're going to have some result there. You're going to have some successes. I sense some turbulence with him. He's going to be lashing out at the people close to him. If him and your girlfriend try to remain in contact, even though you didn't include her in it, he is going to lash out a bit at her. It's going to have some residual on her. It will sour that relationship, not enough to remove him from her life. So this is a person that I sense will be returning into your girlfriend's life probably by the end of summer, is the impression I'm getting from my spirit of divination. So be warned of that. Something in this work that didn't have, and it's probably because you may be new to this work. It may be that you were unable to, muster up the justification and the righteous rage that you really need in order to get strong crossing work to take effect. Know that this guy will be returning into your girlfriend's life. I see it probably around summer, so watch for increased communication. There is some souring going on in his life, specifically in regards to his relationships. He may also have a falling out at work or in an official setting if he goes to school or work. That's what I'm seeing. It's an office in some sort or a building. So watch for that. However, my recommendation, and we're going to turn this over to Kat so that she can teach you some good root work about it, is to change your approach. No more of this, I want to ruin this guy's life, because you're not, I'm sorry, it's just, I don't see it taking effect. Instead, remove him out of your life, out of your girlfriend's life, and go on and have a happy relationship while he's left to deal with his own crap, okay?
Okay.
I'm getting a pretty clear picture, and Rukaya, thank you for starting my thinking down that line, because what you said was right, and Ali, what you said is right. What you've done here was the wrong spell. It's not working. Your question was also the wrong question. Okay. Mm-hmm. So this person has brought drama and confusion into your life with your girlfriend and also the family, and you wanted to sour his life. Wrong spell, wrong direction. You need to remove him from them. So I want you to just let that go. That was okay. What it was okay. And Ali says, okay, he's having some fallout on the job or at school or wherever he is. Some authority figures are looking at him now more askance. But that wasn't what you needed. What you needed was him to be hot-footed from and removed and protection put up around them. He needs to be out of their life. Now, you are distant, and is this ex is in the same city where your girlfriend is? Or is he distant?
He's distant. He's distant.
All right. But you're with the girlfriend?
Yes, I am.
All right. So what I want you, and does the girlfriend and you live together?
No, we don't. We live separately.
All right. Get her to live with you as soon as possible. We're going to try for that. But in the meantime, what I want you to do is then, if you can't get her to live with you and actually put physical protection around the house and repelling walls around the house, I want you to do it on a tabletop in the form of a spell. I want you to get a candle for you, candle for her. They should be figural candles, like a little man and woman candle, naked, Adam and Eve candle. And I want you to use some love powders and things. Cut the fronts of the candles off so when the two of them are touching, their bodies are touching. In other words, if these candles have a disc or base that they sit on, cut that away at the bottom, right, so that they are actually touching each other. I want you to bind those candles together with a little bit of sewing thread, okay? Dress them all over, just all over, with love, stay with me, affection, every kind of love thing you can. I want you to put them in a circle of fiery wall of protection powder, okay?
Okay.
You're going to burn them, but they're going to be burned with only dressed with love things. Now, outside that fiery wall of protection circle, draw it in powder on your tabletop or on your desk. You're going to want something like a cookie sheet here because you don't want to wreck all your furniture. Make a circle. Now, imagine that circle has four arrows coming out of it, one to the north, one to the south, one to the east, one to the west, right? Okay? Now, I want you to get a black candle to represent this X. And you're going to let him walk. As he is, you're going to light them all up, you and her inside. And these four lines, these four arrows point outward, just like the points on a compass, but they point with arrows. And I want you to start him at the east, okay? Now, literally, you're going to get a compass. You're going to find out where the east is. You're going to start him at the east, the bad man. We're going to call him bad man. Bad man, you can knock on the door at the east, but you cannot come in. Now, his candle is burning, and you're going to walk his candle down to the south. Bad man, you knock at the south, but you can't come in. You're going to walk his candle. Now, this walking of these candles is not going to be done all at once. This is going to be taking over the course of several hours while these candles burn. And he goes down to the west. By then he should be three-fourths done. Bad man, you run to the west, but you knock at the door and cannot come in. Now, you carry him around to the north. Bad man, you knock at the north and you cannot come in. Now, you're going to walk him back around to the east to get back where he started. Bad man, no matter where you go, the door will not open. You cannot come in to our circle of love. You cannot come in. And now you take the last of his candle, which is a little stub of his candle, and you have like a bowl of water, maybe from a river that was near you, and you just toss him in. And says, bad man, you must travel onward. Now, if you have that bowl of water and it has hot foot oil in it, that's a good, or hot foot incense powder mixed up into graveyard dirt is another way to do it. And you're going to just put his candle out on that, carry that thing either back to the river, to the graveyard, and get rid of it. He's hit the road, baby. He's gone. That's the kind of work you need to be doing. But that's a good two to three hour spell. All right, that's all. And the whole time you're going to be praying on that thing and talking. Call his name. Bad man, bad man. You know, you can run and run and run, but you can only run circles around us. You can never come in. See what I'm talking about?
Loving.
Yeah.
You were in good hands with Kat right there. Hey. That's exactly what you need. That's exactly what you need.
Okay.
Can I ask a question, Maeve? I'd like to ask a question. Is the woman aware of the fact that you and her are in a relationship?
Yes, she is. It's really complicated, but it's more like it's not official, but basically we are. No.
Okay, but has she said to you, you are her boyfriend, or you are her man? Has she said, have you all had a commitment?
Yes.
Or do you feel
what's so
that
complicated
the
about it?
Well, I mean, because we've had a really complicated, like, history together. And,
okay, so do you feel that the reason she's not coming to you is because of she's not being coming to you fully in a committed relationship is because of the ex?
Yes, I do.
Is that what you're feeling?
Yes.
Okay. All right. The issue is, okay. All right.
I'm going to say one more thing here. If you can propose marriage to her and really bring her into that circle with you, do it. Because there's a loose end here, and Rukaya has identified it. There's a loose end.
Yeah,
exactly.
And
that's
we're all
like,
feeling it. We're feeling it. There's a loose
right.
end. Propose marriage. Seriously. Propose marriage.
Yeah.
Or at the very least, get this woman to move in with you, because you need her.
That's what I said at the beginning.
Yeah, literally in your presence. Absolutely.
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah. If you love her, this will not be complicated. If you love her, this will become simple. God will favor it, and you will be married. And
right.
let's work toward that. You know, drive him away, but move her into your life more tightly, more close. Don't be afraid of commitment.
Right.
Just say, "My darling, I love you so. Will you marry me?" If she says no, hey, you know, no point in driving him away because she ain't yours to begin with. Right.
And Nagashiva brings up an excellent point. He says, not complex marriage. He's right. You know, you don't go from one complicated situation to another. When, you know, if you're proposing marriage, it's you and her. Okay? That's it. No complications. None of this extra stuff, okay?
Okay.
Yeah. Very, very true words. All right. I think we've covered that one. Miss Tammy Lee. We have time for one more caller.
Yes, ma'am, Miss Kat. And from coast to coast and around the world, tune in and listen to the Lucky Mojo Hoodoo Rootwork Hour, broadcast live from the Lucky Mojo Curio Company in Forestville, California. If you're there, you could be on the air. The Lucky Mojo Hoodoo Rootwork Hour is brought to you by the Lucky Mojo Curio Company in Forestville, California, and located online at luckymojo.com every Sunday at 3 p.m. Pacific, 6 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. And let's go back to our callers who've signed up to be on the show. And our next caller is calling from area code 518 from upstate New York. This is Dee Rising. Dee Rising, are you there, caller?
Yes, I am.
Great.
Hello?
Welcome to the show. I'm going to go ahead and read a description of your situation for our host. And she writes, I want to know if my daughter's father and I should get back together. And if so, what should I do about it? I feel like something or someone is blocking us, but maybe that's just me wanting something I can't have. Anyway, I want to find out before I give up, because then I'll always be wondering if I could have done something. Turning it back over to you.
All right. D Rising, is that your name?
Yes, you can just call me D.
D, all right, D. So, D, let me ask you, what sign of the zodiac you are?
I'm Taurus.
You're a Taurus. Oh, my sign. So no wonder you want some kind of stability, all right? Tauruses are very much in favor of stability, and they really want to know how to continue the things that have been going on and keep them going. All right. So... now, what sign is your daughter's father?
He's a Virgo.
Not a bad sign for a Taurus. Not a bad sign at all. They are a little more changeable. They're an earth sign, so we think of them as pretty stable, but they're a mutable sign, and they well may be a little more changeable than you want. Okay, now, you want to know if you can get back together, if you should get back together. Is he offering it?
Sometimes. Not currently, but sometimes he'll kind of say things to me.
All right, sweetheart, I'm going to pull one card because we're a little short on time. I have the Three of Pentacles. This is a card that says three people building a church, and it says you should work toward this. You should work toward it. How long have you been apart?
Almost 2 years.
3 years, okay, because I get the
almost
3 years. Almost 2 years,
two.
Okay. All right,
yeah.
Then make it be three. Work for it until 3 years are up from the date of your separation. For 3 years, put your heart into it. In other words, not 3 years from now, but counting up to 3 years, because it's the Three of Pentacles. Work on it, build on it, do everything you can. If at the end of 3 years from the day that you broke up, there is nothing, then let it go. That's how I read it. Three of Pentacles, you need to work. You may need helpers with you, because this is a stonemason who's got an architect and a priest with him. You may need people to help and guide you, but work on it until that 3 years is up. And at that time, you will have at least built the temple of your love and expressed yourself fully. Does that make sense? All right. Rukaya, what do you see?
Hi, Dee.
Hello.
I have a question. I'd like to ask a question. Is he abusive?
Excuse me?
Is he abusive?
He has been in the past.
Okay.
When you say abusive, you mean physically, verbally?
I mean a little bit of everything.
Everything.
All right. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
See, you're a Taurus. You're stuck.
Oh, God. Will you? I'm sorry. My baby is making noise. Mostly emotionally, never verbally, though.
No, I okay. And you want him back? Is that it? You want to get back with him?
Well, I'm not really sure what I want, but, you know, I want to keep my family together if I can.
Okay.
That's why I called y'all, because...
Yeah, you want help with the situation and knowing what to do.
Mm-hmm.
I'm seeing an abusive man, and this is your baby's father?
Yes.
Okay. You all have, and how long have you been with him?
We were together about five and a half years.
Okay. Is there issues?
See, this is what we were together, and then he was abusive, and then I left him. Then we got back together, and he really hadn't been abusive after that. And then we had the baby, and then I left him again for something different, not for abuse.
Okay. Is there some alcohol or drugs involved?
He does drink and marijuana. He used to. I don't know what he does now, but
mm-hmm.
When you all were together and he was abusive, was he an alcoholic or a drug user?
Yeah, I would say he was a drug
in
user.
In order to help you, you have to be honest.
I am being honest.
Yes.
Yes.
Okay. And
not an alcoholic, though.
Okay. And you want to know, your question is, are you all going to be back together? Because the first thing, if you add what I wrote when I heard the question, I put no, he's too abusive. Now, that's what I heard in spirit. Now, Kat's reading said at the end of 3 years, things do change and people do change.
No, that's not. Whoa, wait, back up.
Whoa.
What I said, no. And what, someone else in the chat room didn't understand me. I must have not spoken clearly because Ms. Michael didn't
understand
me either.
What I said was,
and I'm going to repeat, you're a Taurus and you want certainty. And you're willing to fight for it until you have certainty. But I said, do not fight for this longer than after 3 years you've broken up. I did not say you will have him. I said you will have been satisfied yourself. Okay.
Okay. Okay. All right. Dee, I'm just going to say, when you said the question and I heard Tammy read the question, all I heard in spirit is, no, he's too abusive. All right?
Okay.
That's all I heard. No, he's too abusive. And that's why I'm asking if he's abusive. If you're asking me, I'm just telling what I heard in spirit. It's nothing else I have to say on that subject, especially when it comes to abuse. All right?
Yeah.
Love yourself.
Yeah.
The only thing I have to say to you is love yourself. All right? Okay?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
You know,
yeah.
Being a Taurus woman myself, honey, I know I have taken abuse. And because you've built something, and that's that feeling of the kids, the marriage. You've invested time in it. There's a child involved. I would normally say if the person was abusive to you, you should be done. But you said then he changed somewhat and things, and you left for another reason. The breakup was for another reason. You will not be satisfied until you do the work that gets you to the point where you can have a yes or a no. And what I'm saying is you're not at that point yet.
Mm-hmm.
So it's been 2 years. You were together 5. You've been apart for 2. Does he come see the child?
Yes, he does sometimes, but sometime last year he started seeing this girl, and ever since he's been going out with this girl, he's been acting different towards me and the baby.
I don't believe he, you got a lot of hope here. If you can't make up your mind yourself, you need a wall to run up against. That's how it is with Taurus women and some men. They won't be satisfied until they have run up against something, what we might call the immovable object. So I said set a time limit. And I don't think that this is the right relationship, but I do understand, having been where you are, I hung on. I'm here to testify. I had a man cheat on me with my baby, and I, you know, the whole thing. 2.5 years he was coming around and having sex with me and saying he was going to come back. Would I take him back? But he was with another woman, but then he was with a different other woman. Tauruses don't like to change, and that's your problem. But once you set a wall, you say, if he's with me on this day,
once it's done, it's done.
That's the wall. And when you hit the wall, yeah, you're done. You're done. But you need a wall to be to hit the wall before you can be released. That's my take on it. What do you say? What do you think she should do?
Well, you know, I think that Miss Kat said something really deeply wise, and I absolutely agree with Reverend Rukai. You guys remember? She said, Three of Pentacles, build a temple of your love. That doesn't necessarily mean you and this man. Now, I'm going to speak as a very practical, very pragmatic, straightforward Taurus man and state that, no, I don't see this relationship succeeding. I don't. Right off the bat, I'm going to say that. I do, however, want to remind you that you can redefine, because your aim is not necessarily to have this man back. You said you want to see if you can have your family back. You can have a family without him, okay? You can have a family. You have your child. That's a family right there. Now, if you want the father involved in the child's life, that also is a family. A family is no longer defined necessarily as you, as husband, wife, and kid. He has proven himself to be a failure as a husband. When he became abusive, he was a failure. Don't go down that road. Build the temple of your love. My suggestion, peaceful homework. Get a honey jar for yourself, for your child, for this man, so that the relationship remains sweet, peaceful, so that he comes and sees his child, so that he supports you and his child financially, put some five-finger grass in there, a little pinch of calamus to compel him to pay up. But I wouldn't do the love work avenue. I would do work to bring peace into your home, to build up your temple of love. And, you know, if you want him around, bring him around. Don't let him back into your life as your husband. Don't give him that foothold anymore. It's now your time to build your family. He failed. Let him go.
All right. Well, there we had a very diverse set of ideas. Thank you all. Miss Tammy Lee, take us out.
Yes, ma'am, Miss Kat. And thank you, Miss Kat and Conjurman Ali. And thank you, Reverend Rukaya Shaman of DivineSpiritMinistries.org in Eastlake, Ohio, for being our special guest from the Association of Independent Readers and Root Workers this week. We invite you to tune in next week when we will have another special guest from AIR. Once again, we've come to the end of another Lucky Mojo Hoodoo Rootwork Hour, brought to you by the Lucky Mojo Curio Company in Forestville, California. You can find Miss Kat via the Lucky Mojo Forum at forum.luckymojo.com and Conjurman Ali at conjurmanali.com in Mission Viejo. I'm your announcer, Miss Tammy Lee, joining you from triplecrownconjure.com in Pensacola, Florida. The Lucky Mojo Hoodoo Rootwork Hour can be heard every week live on Blog Talk Radio at 3 p.m. Pacific, 6 p.m. Eastern Standard Time, and the shows are available in archives via luckymojo.com/radioshow.html. for all of us at Lucky Mojo. I'd like to thank you for being here and invite you to tune in once again next week at the same time when you will hear the familiar strains of the Memphis Jug Band playing the Jug Band Waltz. Thanks, everybody. Goodbye.
Bye-bye. Thank you so much, Rukaya, for being our guest. It was just wonderful to have you. And good night, Conjurman Ali. Thank you all.
Thank you all, and Nagashiva and Kat, and of course, everyone.
All right. And thanks to our callers for being so willing to share themselves on the air. I don't thank them enough. All right. That's it for tonight. See you all next week. Bye-bye.
Good night.
Bye. Good night.